Hopefully we are up and working again and you're able to tune in for the remainder of the announcements and the remainder of the service. So we're asking you to pray for the messages that are going out every day. We're seeking for guidance. We're seeking for the help of God in this. Practically every day we hear from someone, and it's been a great encouragement. There was a dear lady from the south of Ireland rang me this week. I don't know who she is, but she was listening in, and her parents are listening in, and she said, keep at it, because they're being blessed down there in the south of Ireland. We ask you to pray for all the broadcasting of the services, Bible class, Sabbath school, the Sabbath services, youth challenge, the midweek, and the youth fellowship, as we continue with church life as far as it lies within us. And of course, for the voice of God to be heard in these days. Pray for our missionaries at home and abroad. Remember the countries where we're seeking to do a work for the Lord, and our missionaries that are on the field. They are in lockdown, as you and I are, but they're seeking to maintain a cause for Christ just where they are. Pray for the effort of the mission board, the workers, as they seek to get the gospel out to the children and the youth. The daily video cast that is going out from Ballymoney, and the one in Bangor, remember Josh Moffat at the Throne of Grace. It's lovely to see the children this morning at Sabbath school as they sung a piece there. And Wesley with this cake. I did notice it took 3 blows to get all the candles out. Lord bless you, brother. We had greetings from Karen as she greeted her class, and from Ryan also as he brought greetings to his class. Lovely to hear our teachers as they keep in touch with the children. Julie did the memory verse, and Joanna did the message dealing with the wordless book and bringing that lovely message in the gospel, having our own children around the table. There's the color red reminding us of the blood of the Savior. And children, if you're listening in, you know, if you were there at Sunday school this morning, what you need to do and the information that you need to send in to Wesley. We're asking you to pray for this project that begins in the incoming week, feeding the orphans in India. And we've showed these slides to you last week. We just want you to see them again. Some of the children that are going to benefit from the generosity of those who have given. We're also praying for a little girl, Alpha, in Pakistan. She is Freya's daughter, had to go to hospital, receive treatment and medication. And just this lovely wee girl, she's not looking very happy there. Neither would you or I if we had that treatment to get and that cannula to be inserted into the hand. But do remember this little girl. She's keeping much better as the week went on. Pastor Joel, he continues with the school buildings there in Uganda, even in these days. And that's just something to keep before the Lord also. I had the opportunity to preach in Pakistan today. An amazing opportunity, really, and to preach on the work of the Holy Spirit. Some other countries follow the church calendar maybe a little bit more than what we do. And today is Pentecost, the 31st of May, 50 days after Easter, after the crucifixion. This is, of course, the celebration of the coming of the Holy Spirit of God. And we have the opportunity just to speak to these people about the Lord Jesus Christ in John's Gospel, how he said when he's come, he will reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And I just trust that as it was translated to them, that they were able to hear and understand the things of the Lord. But there they are in a very remote area, and they're seeking to worship God, this little simple keyboard of some description, and the congregation that had gathered. And there's many needs, as you can understand. There are physical needs. It was pointed out to me, this little boy, he has deformities in his chest and his back. This is all bone that is growing out. He's actually 15 years of age, but he's only as tall as maybe an 8 or 9 year old. But he seems happy, and the Lord is blessing them there as they seek to be a witness for Christ. So these are some of the folks that I saw this morning, some that I had the opportunity to preach unto. And then, of course, money had been provided for them to feed this congregation as well. So way out in a remote part of Pakistan, if they get one meal a day, that is it. And they were able to get this lovely meat, a little bit of chicken in the rice there that Deep Mala had prepared for them. We also helped with a Sunday school class in Pakistan. And this is a picture of the wee class that Freya is seeking to teach the gospel to. Some of the children that she's reaching, that's Freya there in the middle. We want to thank the men who were in doing some work. This is work being done on the football field round the corner there from the church building. And we want to thank those who came in to trim off the trees and the hedges and to do that excellent work. Philip has been very busy painting the windows. So these are things that are happening and you don't maybe know about them. Church life is not normal. You're not here. You're not getting to see. But if you were passing, you'll notice that the windows have received a coat, maybe two coats of varnish, maybe in some cases three. And we just acknowledge the work that is being done in these days. If there are others that can help with some of this DIY work that is being done, if you contact Philip Calderwood, he can give you the details. Now we're going to worship God as we hear the hymn 562. The fight is on. The trumpet sound is ringing out. 562.
Thank you.
Amen. The fight is on. And it's appropriate to sing about the fight because we're going to come to preach about the fight now. But before I do that, could I mention that today is also the retiring offering for the Christian school. Retiring offering is normally just at the back there, but you're not here. We haven't been mentioning the week or the weekly offerings, what comes each Sunday. We're leaving that up to your memory. But because this is a fifth Sunday and an extra one, if you have a gift that you'd like to send in for the Christian school, we'd really appreciate that. Maybe you could attend to that and encourage the work there. Now we're turning to 2 Chronicles chapter 14 for our Bible reading. We're doing a series on King Asa, and we come to the fighting king today. Let's read from verse 8. 2 Chronicles chapter 14 and verse 8. And Asa had an army of men that bare targets and spears out of Judah, 300,000, and out of Benjamin that bare shields and drew bows, 280,000. All these were mighty men of valor. And there came out against them Zerah the Ethiopian, with an host of 1,000,000 and 300 chariots, and came unto Mareshah. Then Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephathah at Mareshah. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah. And the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people that were with him pursued them unto Gerar. And the Ethiopians were overthrown, that they could not recover themselves, for they were destroyed before the Lord and before his host, and they carried away very much spoil. And they smote all the cities round about Gerar, for the fear of the Lord came upon them, and they spoiled all the cities, and there was exceeding much spoil in them. They smote also the tents of cattle, and carried away sheep and camels in abundance, and returned to Jerusalem. Ending the reading at the end of the chapter at verse 15, we know that God will bless his word to every heart. Let's bow together in a moment's prayer again. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for your precious word. We thank thee for King Asa and the many lessons that we can learn from his life. We pray that we will be able to emulate all the good and godly things that are about him. And as we come to think about the fight, O Lord, help us to be engaged in the great battles of today, that the name of the Lord Jesus might be exalted and glorified. Bless your word to our hearts now, and fill me with God the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Asa, the fighting king. Now we've noticed Asa, the godly king, coming from a background of wickedness and evil. His grandfather and his father before him being men of corruption and idolatry. We saw this as a great mercy of God. A man raised to the throne coming from such a background that he came from of spiritual decline, and yet raised up so that he might bring standards into the land for the Lord. He bore a brilliant testimony before his people. He brought tremendous reforms to the nation. He led the people of Israel back to the worship of God and back to obedience again. And as a result, the Lord was pleased to give peace and quietness in the kingdom of Judah. There were no wars for a long period of time. Last Lord's Day, we noticed Asa, the building king, building in a time of peace. He built fenced cities and he erected walls and towers and gates and bowers and enjoyed years of prosperity. And they were able to accomplish all that they did because they were a praying people, a people who sought the Lord. And the work marched forward in prayer, as it always must do. Keep up the prayers in these days, God's people. But now today, we're coming to Asa, the fighting king. The peace did not last forever. It was a long period of time when we think of the days in which there were many wars. 10 years, God gave the country peace. But then the war came. And though God often blesses his people in such times of peace and prosperity, it's not long before the devil rises up to oppose the blessing that God has given. He sends his agents to resist and to challenge the work that God is doing. The devil did not like what Asa stood for. He did not like what Asa had accomplished. Asa was a man of God. He was a reformer in the nation. He broke the images of idolatry. He gave firm leadership in bringing the citizens back to worship and back to the obedience of God. He built up the nation and was blessed with great prosperity. No doubt the devil watched on. And as he watched on, he was filled with rage and resentment. And so Satan moves the heart of Zerah, the Ethiopian, to come from the south with his mighty host against Judah to destroy the land of Judah. That was the intention. And my friends, we will have enemies to face. We will have foes to encounter. We must be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. We must indeed be ready for such a day, to make the preparations as Asa did for that day, to be on the outlook for the enemy coming. Remember the towers that Asa built. They had a purpose. Even these were days of peace. He built the towers so that the watchmen could look out for the approach of the enemy. And we need to have the towers up, looking out for the approach of the evil one. If ever there is a time that the devil will attack more than ever, it is when God is pressing forward with his own work. When there is reform in the nation. When there is a reviving of the church. When there's restoration. When there's the raising of the standards. When there's building work and prosperity going on. The devil will always come to attack. Do not think for one moment that Satan likes what is happening here. Aren't we glad that in these days of COVID-19, there has been so much wickedness curtailed in this world? So many wicked and vile assemblies of people and what they do, they've had to call off all these things. But you know, the church has been affected as well. And we cannot meet as we once did. But the work goes on. And the devil may have thought he had frustrated the work of God. But the work of God marches on. And the gospel is still being proclaimed. We're so glad here at Hebron that we're able to maintain every aspect of the work of God. We're glad that we can have these services on the Sabbath day. We're glad that we can have our midweek meeting. We're glad that we can maintain the children's work and the Sunday school. We're so glad that we can still have that contact with our young people on a Friday night. And every day the messages are going out and the work is being done. And I tell you this, the devil is not happy. He's not happy with the general work that takes place here from week to week. We have a desire to reach the lost for Christ. We have a church that believes in prayer. And even though, again, we're not physically gathered for the prayer meetings, we know that our congregation is remembering the work of God at home. We oppose idolatry and false religion. We believe in godly leadership. And we're seeking to build for God. And the Lord has been pleased to prosper us. But the devil's not happy. and he will come against us, and he will fight against us. Well, may the Lord help us to wage a good warfare and to fight a good fight in these days. Let's think about Asa, the fighting king, and let's see how relevant it is for us in our day. I want you to look at verse 9 of this passage of Scripture. We have the emergence of the enemy. It says, "There came out against them Zerah the Ethiopian." Now, don't lose sight of the timing. When the enemy came, when the foe came, and let the truth of this sink into your hearts, because it is important. The enemy came after reformation in religion, after restoration of worship, after the rededication to the law and the commandments, after the raising of cities, and then when the people in the country had enjoyed rest and prosperity, the enemy emerged. And I want you to keep that in mind. This has ever been the history of God's work in Christ's kingdom in the earth. After the blessing comes the battle. And you see this over and over again in biblical history, in church history, and it is indeed our own experience. When we know something of the mighty blessing of God, it's not long before the devil steps in and there's a real battle to contend with. We see this in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ when our Savior was baptized. In Matthew chapter 3, and at the end of the chapter, we read about the Savior's baptism, verses 16 and 17. "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." What a blessing. At the commencement of our Lord's ministry, as Jesus Christ is introduced to the world, as he's introduced particularly to the great crowd of people that had gathered where John the Baptist was preaching, and there is this wonderful event that happens. The Lord is baptized, and the very heavens are opened, and the Spirit of God descends like a dove, and the voice of the Father is heard from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." What a mighty commencement to the ministry of Christ. But you will notice chapter 4 and verse 1. "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil." As soon as this great blessing had occurred, the battle comes, and the Lord himself enters into this dark period of time. Think of Pentecost. Think of the opening chapters of the Acts of the Apostles, from the prayer meeting to the pouring out of the Spirit of God. Today, if you follow the church calendar, is the day of Pentecost. Pentecost is 50 days after Easter. The Spirit of God descends in answer to prayer, coming into the world and coming into his church, coming into the hearts and the lives of his people more powerfully than ever before. The outpouring of the Spirit of God, probably the greatest blessing that has ever come to the church, to give that church power and fire in its soul. And then the preaching of the apostles, Peter and his fellow preachers, proclaiming the Lord Jesus Christ on that day of Pentecost, and proclaiming the gospel with power, the mighty anointing of God the Spirit that had just descended. Then the conversions. Thousands of people brought to Christ. And we have to say this was the blessing of God, a mighty blessing. But you come into chapter 4 and you will see the battle. As the Spirit of God comes, as the preaching goes forward, as there are multiple conversions, then the disciples enter into the battle. And in chapter 4, we begin to read about the opposition, the imprisonments, the beatings, and eventually, as we go on through the history of the Acts of the Apostles, the martyrdoms too, where the disciples died for their faith in Christ and for the preaching of the glorious gospel of Christ. My friends, the enemy will emerge. The enemy will oppose. The enemy will rise up in fierce opposition to the blessings of God and what God is doing. We see the reality of the enemy. And there came. The enemy was real. The enemy was great, a formidable foe. The enemy came, entered into Judah's kingdom. And though there had been peace and prosperity and blessing, the enemy came. And there was great disturbance, and there was fear now in the hearts of the people. Our enemy is real. Our enemy will come. Our enemy will attack. Satan hath desired to have thee, Jesus said to Peter. Oh, just before the cross, Peter was told these things. The blessing of God had come. What a blessing it was, even the night before the cross, when the Lord Jesus sat with his men at the table, and he had that wonderful conversation with them from the end of John 13 right through to the end of chapter 16, and revealed so many wonderful things to these men. What a blessing the great high priestly prayer must have been that Jesus offered in chapter 17 of John's Gospel. And it is in that setting, on the night before, that Peter is warned about his failures and his denials. And Peter, you're going to deny me. You're going to deny me three times over. Satan hath desired to have you. And my dear friends, the very next morning in the Garden of Gethsemane, we think of how the devil came and sought to sift Peter and sought to make Peter fail. And we think of how he began to follow afar off. And when he got to the palace of the high priest, you remember how three times over with oaths and cursings, Peter failed the Lord and denied the Lord, because they can come from great blessing to a great battle. And it happened in his life. It was so real. It's not if the enemy will come. It's when the enemy will come. Dear child of God, you watch out for it. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. That's what the devil wants to do. He wants to devour you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to bring you down. The reality of the enemy. We have the hostility of the enemy. The little words there, out against them. And there came out against them. You know, the enemies of the gospel are against the people of God, with antagonism and force and great hostility. Satan is, as we mentioned, the roaring lion. And we think of the lion. We think of this imagery that Peter, led by the Spirit of God, writes in his epistle to show us something of the hostility of the devil. Oh, that lion that wants to devour. And we think of how he wanted to sift Peter like wheat. And I tell you that the devil will put you into the sieve, and he will try to sift you, and he will try to bring you down as well. The hostility of the enemy. We have the identity of the enemy. Zera, the Ethiopian. That name, Zera, has a very interesting meaning. It means sprout. And so if there is anything to learn here, there is at least the thought that the enemy just sprouted up. Suddenly and unexpectedly, the enemy came. And Satan sprouts or springs up so quickly at times. Oh, dear child of God, we need to remind ourselves that the grand adversary of our souls rises up against us. Then came out against them Zerah. And this might well be written over you and I when it comes to the great enemy of our souls. It might be of us individually, or it might be of the church collectively. But the enemy will come. Who did the enemy come against? This will give you some idea of the kind of person that the devil attacks. Well, the opposition was against the godly king. There's no doubt whatsoever about the credentials of Asa. The Spirit of God has put it into the record for you and I to see the kind of a man that he was, a godly man. The opposition was against not only a godly king, but a reforming king. A king that brought reformation to the land, that brought the people of God back into the right way again. Came against a praying king, a man of God who sought the Lord earnestly. Came across against an obedient king. Asa was a man that obeyed the Lord. And came against a building king, one that wanted to build for God. And if you see these characteristics in any man today, that's the person that the enemy's going to be after. And if you find these qualities in any church, that's the kind of a church that the devil will be after. If you are godly, if you're a man or a woman of reformation, if you're a praying child of God, if you're obedient to the Lord and seeking to build for him, you will know the coming of the enemy more than most. Not only do we have the emergence of the enemy, but we have the enormity of the enemy. Do you see what verse 9 goes on to say? There came out against them Zerah the Ethiopian with an host of 1,000 and 300 chariots and came unto Merisha. Zerah invaded Judah with an enormous African army from Ethiopia. We can hardly imagine the size of this great multitude and how they were able to immobilize and maneuver such a company of soldiers. 1 million soldiers supported by 300 chariots. This is the largest assembled army that we read about in Scripture. It's not the largest that we read about in ancient history, but it is the largest in the biblical account. It was a massive army on the march. Now, Asa's army, we read about in verse 8, Asa had an army that bare targets and spears, and out of Judah, 300,000, and out of Benjamin that bare shields and drew bows, 200, and 80,000, all these were mighty men of valor. So you put the figures together here, and you will be able to calculate 300,000 plus 280,000, that is 580,000. You don't need to be a genius in maths to realize that Asa was outnumbered almost 2-1. The army of Asa was split into two different kinds of soldiers. The men of Judah guarded themselves with targets. The men of Benjamin, they guarded themselves with shields. That was a smaller version of the target. Judah's soldiers fought with spears. That's close combat, right up there against the enemy. Benjamin's soldiers drew bows to reach the enemy at a distance, but both of them were needed. First of all, the bows to shoot at a distance when the enemy's approaching, and then when it came to combat, close combat, the spears right up front. Both of them did good service. Neither of them could say to the other, "I have no need of you." And it reminds us of the different gifts and the employments of believers, and it's all
for the common good of the Lord's work and for the great battles of the gospel that we fight today. This man has different abilities and skills than the other man, but here we are in the body of Christ. We all have our function. We all have our part to play. We cannot say, I have no need of you. We're all vital in the work of God. Our enemy is enormous. Too great for any one of us. We are outnumbered. We are no match for the spiritual army that comes against us. By ourselves we will fail. Many will oppose us in the work of the Lord. Satan's hosts are described as principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. We have the devil without us. We have the world around us. And we have the flesh within us. Recognize the enemy. Watch out for the enemy. And deal with the enemy when the enemy comes. The enormity of the enemy. Then we have the engaging of the enemy. Look at verse 10. Then Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephathah at Marisha. Asa rose up, and he went out, and he stood against the enemy. He set the battle in array. He faced the foe. He prepared to fight. He didn't run away. That's the easy thing to do. When the enemy comes in like a flood, you and I are to stand up against the enemy. We are to engage ourselves in the battle. We are to resist the devil. That's why the Apostle Paul said, fight the good fight of faith. We are counseled to put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And we are to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. What do I do when Satan attacks? What do I do when the devil seeks to invade my territory? When he seeks to ruin my life? When he seeks to mar my testimony? When he seeks to wreck the work of God? I fight him. I resist him. I stand against him. I don't let him in. I engage him. You want to resist that worldly thing that attempts to bring you down as a Christian. You want to stand against that fleshly corruption which is putting you down into defeat. You want to face every wile of Satan which is designed to destroy your witness. And the same goes for the Church of Jesus Christ, not just the individual, but the church collectively. Asa went out against Zerah, and Judah set the battle in array. We must contend against every enemy that seeks to invade and conquer that which God has given to us. We need to protect the inheritance. Fight the good fight with all thy might. Christ is thy strength and Christ thy right. Then look at verse 11. Here we have the entreaty about the enemy. Here's the prayer now. Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. Oh, the power of prayer by a godly man who knows how to lay hold upon God at the throne of heavenly grace. Asa appealed to God. A dark cloud hung over the nation. They were in terrible danger. There was fear and trembling, but Asa prayed. The king that sought God in the day of prosperity could now with holy boldness cry in the day of adversity. You see what I'm saying here? The king that knew how to pray when everything was going well
was the king who in the day of trouble could continue at the throne of grace. The trouble with many people is that they only pray when the going gets tough. They only seek God when they're in trouble. And so they use God. It's not real prayer. Oh, we need to know God when all is well. And then we can seek him and prove him when the trial comes. And the king's prayer is short, but there's much in it. And just very quickly in passing, I learn about his earnestness. Asa cried. And in that word cried, I see a note of great earnestness. And I learn his acknowledgement here. Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. He gives God the glory for his infinite power and sovereignty. It's nothing with God to intervene, no matter what the circumstances might be, no matter how humanly impossible the situation seems, or how weak of ourselves we are. Thank God the Lord can help. And then I also learn about his petition. Help us, O Lord our God. That's what he cried for. In the midst of his distress, when the formidable enemies coming against him, what did he need? He needed the help of God. He needed the Lord to be his helper, to stand with him in the battle. And then I also learn his dependence, for Asa says, we trust on thee. His faith was pinned in Almighty God. His faith was not pinned in his army or in his skills or his ability. No, I'm trusting in the Lord. And I also learn his confidence, for he says, in thy name we go against this multitude. And we learn his recognition here. O Lord, thou art our God. He takes hold of the covenant relationship that he had with the Almighty. O God, you're our God. You've brought us into covenant with yourself. And then we learn his plea. Let not man prevail against thee. Asa saw the triumphing of the enemy as being not only at the feet of God's people, but at the feet of God himself. What was Asa praying? What was the king implying? If Zerah prevails against us, it will be said that he prevails against thee, because thou art our God, and we rest on thee, and we go forth in thy name, which thou hast encouraged us to do. May God give this church praying men and women, Christians who know how to hold on to God in the place of prayer, believers who know how to seek the Lord in the midst of the battle, because this is the way to victory. And if we're going to see victory in these days, we need to be a praying people. The entreaty about the enemy. And one final little thought, there's the eradication of the enemy. And you have it from verse 12 onwards. I'll just read verse 12. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And as you read the other verses of the chapter, you see how triumphant it was for Judah that day. God defeated the Ethiopians, this great enemy, and he put their forces into disarray. He instilled such a terror into their hearts that they panicked and they fled and knew not where they were fleeing. Asa's soldiers took advantage of the situation and pursued them until defeat. They were destroyed before the Lord. Who can stand before Almighty God when he raises his hand against him and his people? And they were so defeated and so destroyed that they were unable to resist or recover. Dear child of God, victory is ours every time when God is on our side and he fights for us. There is not an enemy. There is not an opposition. There is not an army. There is not a satanic attack. There is not a threat. There is not a problem. But God Almighty can deal with it. I'm glad I'm on the winning side. I'm glad that the victory is mine. I rejoice today that I am more than a conqueror through Him that loved me. Brethren and sisters, the fight is on. Fight the good fight of faith. Stand up for Jesus Christ, our King. Keep close to Him. Keep the enemy out. And live in the victory of your Christian life. I believe this to be the mind and the will of God. I trust that you've learned from Asa, the fighting king. And may we fight the good fight of faith in our day. Let's bow together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're glad that we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. We thank Thee for the victory of Calvary. And we have stepped into that victory. We thank Thee that there's power and resources for the people of God today, that we might engage in the battle and fight for Thee. Help us, Lord, never to be ashamed of our King, to stand up for the crown rights of Jesus Christ. Help us to own Him, to defend Him, to preach Him to a dying world. Help us, Lord, to defend the great doctrines of Your Word, especially those doctrines that surround the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help the work of God to go forward. And Lord, when there is peace and blessing and the work is able to go forward, we know that the battle will come. There will be fights to fight. There will be enemies to face. But help us, Lord, to stand up for Jesus, the soldiers of the cross. Dismiss us now from this service. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. And amen. Thank you for joining us today. And the Lord bless you on this Sabbath.